You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
It is preaching time. My heart is full. God has done a great work in my life personally this week, and I'm so grateful for all that I've had the privilege of getting to experience and receive this week. Take your Bibles to the book of Acts and Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Can we give a big round of applause to all the workers, all the staff, everybody who have put this conference on this week? Would you write down somewhere to pray for the North Valley Baptist Church and Golden State Baptist College? Would you write that down somewhere? Remember many years ago, I was walking back behind the college and the church, and I just began to pray for Golden State and for North Valley Baptist Church. And that's been a prayer of mine, and God has blessed this ministry so gratefully, grateful, so incredibly, and I'm grateful for it. Well, I gave out In-N-Out this morning, or Tuesday morning, to this section right here. Give yourselves a round of applause. But you don't seem too excited. We went to get burgers, and they wouldn't give us them on demand, so we have gift cards. Everybody in this section will get a gift card. Now, if you're not excited, there we go, all right. So I need a representative to come on up and get the gift cards, and right afterwards, make sure everybody from that section gets a gift card. Somebody come on up. Brother Ingram, come on up. Make sure that everybody gets a gift card, and there's enough there for you to get a sandwich or a meal or something like that. And I'm also going to give a few more away tonight. Would anybody else like to win one tonight? These are In-N-Out. Did I say Chick-fil-A? Is it In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A? Which do you prefer? In-N-Out. You got it right. So these are In-N-Out gift cards. All right, so I want you to watch the first person to stand, okay? The first person to stand, all right? If they get it wrong, I'm gonna ask somebody in another section. So make sure, whoever's standing, that you get it right. All right, what year was North Valley Baptist Church, right here, I saw this lady? 1975. Is that correct, 1975? All right, there we go. Give her a round of applause, all right. What is Brother Luke Flood's middle name? Yes, right here. Incorrect. We got to go another section right here. Incorrect. All right, it's up to two gift cards now. Two gift cards. You can buy right here. No, no, we can't. We can't have. Okay, nope, it doesn't work. Right here. 3, 2, 1. Okay, nobody else? You can start texting and asking right over here. Yes. Incorrect. Anyone else? Right over here. Incorrect. Alan is correct, right up here. Run that up to him, Brother Sam. Two of them. All right, very good. Very quickly, how old is Brother Alvin Martinez? Right here. Somebody give me who's next. Who's next? Right over here. 50 is correct. 50's correct, right over here on the end. How? Did you say 50? All right, come and get it. Here's several. You got some. Okay, give them one. All right, how about Brother Evertson, how old does he turn? Yes. He turns 50 and when? I'm going right here. Tomorrow is correct. All right, give him one. Give him a couple. We got to get rid of these. All right. We have another question. All right. What is the name of the church that has, other than North Valley Baptist Church, that has the largest group here at the youth conference? Right here. Incorrect. Okay. Somebody else help me. Y'all are supposed to point them out to me. All right, I'll ask a different question. Sit down. Sit down. What year did GSBC start? Yes. No, you already answered one right here. 1996 is correct. There's a couple. You can come get them. All right. And what is the name of the largest group here other than North Valley? Riverview is correct. There's the last two. Give her a big round of applause. All right. Very, very good. Let's take our Bibles tonight and look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Thank you, Pastor Treiber. Thank you, Brother Flood. Thank you, everybody, for giving me the opportunity to be here. I am very, very grateful. Very grateful. I think we have some extra. There was one other question I was going to ask, make sure everybody knows this. I'm going to give away five of them, okay? So grab down in the bag five of them. The first person to stand and tell me Pastor Treber's wife's first name. Yep, right there. This guy in the white shirt, I saw him move. Cindy is correct. You just got five In-N-Out gift cards. Very good. He was the first one up. All right, everybody get your Bibles out. Acts chapter number 8. Wherever you are, make sure that you have a Bible and use your Bible tonight. I believe that what I'm about ready to say, I believe it with everything inside of me. I believe that there is an extremely, extremely, extremely high possibility, very extremely high possibility that this is the last message that I will ever preach or that you will ever hear. I believe it's an extremely, extremely high possibility. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water." This is Acts 8 and verse 36. "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot. I love those amens, right? And that just showed how he got saved. It wasn't all about baptism. It was all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. By the way, let's just pause for a second. Do you realize we've got a perfect Bible? Yeah. Don't be deceived by the world. Look, they don't even renumber it when they take stuff out. Go ahead and look at this verse in the other translations, like the ESV. Show that same verse, guys, if you have that. If you could throw that up there, guys, do you have that? Look at this here. Look at verse 36. You see that? Look at verse 38. Do you see that? What's missing? 37. I've got the actual Bibles in my office, and I show people, and there's many, 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 many like that. They're just gone. They say, well, we're using a different Bible to get our Bibles, you know, an older, more reliable Bible. It's neither older nor more reliable. And that's been proven. And so they just gutted verse number 37. Let's just go read verse 37 that they gut out, the NIV, the ESV, all those other versions, false heretical Bibles. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 39 says, "And when they were come up out of the water," watch this, "the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Circle, highlight, underline those two words in verse 39, the words "caught away," caught away. The Bible shows us that God, the Spirit of God, capital S, Spirit, instantly transported Philip. Now, later on, he was back to earth, and they saw him in another city and a different place, but there was a supernatural snatching away. We find this same word, harpazo, is the Greek word for it. Thank God for the English words, caught away. That's what it means. He was caught away. We find it throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn quickly to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And Paul is speaking in verse number 1. And he's talking about an experience that he had. And he doesn't know if it was in the spirit or in the body. And he's talking about what God had shown him in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We see the same exact word here used. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Paul writes, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one," notice these two words, circle, highlight, underline, "caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows whether I was in my body or in the spirit, but it was real." Verse number 4, how that, here it is again, he was, say those two words out loud in verse 4, ready and go. Let's say it again, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So again, in verses 2 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 12, we see the same thing that we saw of that Ethiopian man, that he saw of Philip. So Philip was caught up. He was supernaturally taken by force. Just out of nowhere, He was gone. He was caught up. And again, here Paul talks about this man that was supernaturally taken by force. Just no warning, just no sign. It was signless. It was imminent. It was just, he was taken up. Now we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And you guys are very, very good at using your Bibles, and I've appreciated watching you turn and mark them up and make notes and learn the Word of God this week. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. Now he's talking about those that the believers have seen buried. Their bodies go in the ground. Thank God their spirits go with the Lord, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so they are trying to figure out now what's going to happen to these dead people, and he calls them sleeping. Notice this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Remember those words, no hope. You can get to a place called hell where there is no hope. The love of God cannot reach a place called hell, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the what? Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so their bodies are going to rise, and that which was corruptible shall be made incorruptible. That which was mortal shall be made immortal. Thank God for that. And then we which are alive and remain shall be, notice those two words again, by the way, the same words that we find all throughout the Bible, verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians. Then we which are alive and remain. Now, who is that? Those that are alive and remain. So there is an extremely high possibility that it could be us and it could be now. I would not believe the Bible if I did not believe. I was not trying to give you shock doctrine when I said I believe there is an extremely high possibility that this is the last message you'll ever hear or the last message I'll ever preach. Why? Because my Bible teaches me that we are to live that way and that it's signless and imminent. Now wait, hold on, stay with me. Notice this. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be, read those two words, say them out loud, ready and go, caught up together with them where? Where are we going to be caught up with them? In the clouds. To meet the Lord where? In the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And if we wanted to take time tonight, or believe that we should take time tonight, we could take you to many passages of scriptures from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. As a matter of fact, you could jump forward to Hebrews, talking about an Old Testament passage, and Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated. So he's transported, he's taken by force, he's caught up, translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. He vanished. He was caught up to heaven without dying. We could read just in the fifth chapter of the Bible, Genesis 5 and verse 24, when the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Why? For God took him. The message tonight is entitled this, The Delivery Room. The Delivery Room. I have been in the delivery room 10 different times for 11 births. I have a picture of my family, and we don't even have our newest child in this picture because this was taken in the fall, and there's 8 of them. We have little Joel, who was born just this April, and then we have 2 in heaven that we held in our arms and I watched be born. So there's 8 there, and 1 more that we have now, little Joel Whitfield. And then, of course, these here. And I'm so grateful for my wife and family, and I wish so bad that they were here with me tonight. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24. And then keep your Bible open to Matthew 24. Jesus is on his final night. They call it the Olivet Discourse. He's telling them about what's going to happen next and how to live, his disciples. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6, the Bible says in verse number 6 of Matthew 24, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. In the end, he's speaking of the very, very end where we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. Verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse number 8, I want you to notice, circle, highlight, underline. Ready? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, if you study this word out, where we got the words, the beginning of sorrows, do you know what this literally means, the beginning of sorrows? Do you know what Jesus does when he comes to these last days, this final time, is he's talking about a great tribulation that when for those of us that are saved, we're going to meet the Lord in the air and be with him for a honeymoon for 7 years before we come back to earth and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years here on this earth. Do you know what he calls this tribulation period, this time where the Antichrist, who is an angel of light, and he mimics and does everything that he didn't want to be God. I mean, Jesus is God, but he wanted to be like Jesus. And he wanted to be like God, so he wanted to be a part of that Godhead. And so he does everything that Jesus got to do or that Jesus did, and he tries to create a counterfeit. And so do you know what God calls these final days where Satan is going to reveal himself through his great deceiver and through the beast, the Antichrist? Do you know what he calls this time? The beginning of sorrows. You know what this is? A literal interpretation is labor contractions or birth pains. As a matter of fact, in other passages, we literally read the words here in our English Bible, birth pangs, P-A-N-G-S, birth pangs, or these contractions. So anytime when you're studying your Bible and you read the words, the beginning of sorrows, you're talking about contractions, because the end times is not described as a war zone for the believer. It's described as a delivery room. And understand this very clearly tonight, teenager, that the rapture, meaning where we are going to be caught up, taken by force, it's not your decision. It's not your planning. You don't get to time it out. You don't get to think through when it will be. It will be just like Philip. He baptized him. Philip had no idea when he came up out of that water, he was going straight up. And all throughout Enoch, they had no idea. It was taken by force. Why? Because the Father said it's time and I'm going to take them by force. But did you know in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 8, it's speaking of a delivery room, and we're showing how there are signs of the tribulation, but the rapture, when we are taken up, is imminent, meaning it's right away. It can happen any moment, and it's signless. So I'm going to say this, and you can write it down and remember clearly. The rapture is signless and imminent, but the tribulation has signs, just like the delivery room. And we're waiting. If the baby comes naturally, you're waiting for that child, you're waiting for that child, and you can see signs. And I won't be descriptive. And man, when I got married, I didn't know anything. But after this many times, I'm now telling my wife. I said, look, you're going to be going to the hospital in the next couple days. But then we'll go to the hospital, and I got all these signs, you know. But then you go to the hospital, but you still don't know when that baby's going to come. I don't want to be crude, but when that water's going to break, or when it's, here it is, let's go, it's go time. It's that final moments, that final moments, and then a baby is born. The world is in labor tonight. The world is in the delivery room tonight, and there are signs of the tribulation period to come, which means how much closer is God's taking us, those that have Christ, those that have the Holy Spirit inside of our heart and know it, that have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, haven't been playing games, and we've got it settled. We're going to be taken by force. As a matter of fact, while we were singing, God's been good, I was sitting there and I began to pray, Lord, would you please let me preach this message? I kind of had this suffocating feeling that it could happen during the song. Because it can happen any moment. There's nothing else that has to happen before the Lord can come back and all hell breaks loose on earth, and all of a sudden somebody has to rise up and sign peace treaties and be this great peace bringer for 3.5 years, and then the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be absolutely horrible. People are going to wish to die. So we're in the delivery room tonight. Let me give you a, let's pray. Father, bless us, I pray, for the next few minutes, and teach us your truth tonight, and help us go out of here forever changed. May young men surrender their lives to the full-time ministry. May we live, Lord, purifying ourselves because of this hope that is within us, the Bible teaches us. Lord, may we be watchmen on the wall. May we live with a purpose. May we wake up high time and lift up our eyes and be watchful. May we just simply obey your book. Lord, I want to preach your book, and I feel so inadequate, but I know that you are so great. And your word is so powerful, and so I pray that you'd give me scripture recall and help me to say exactly what you'd have for me to say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We see prophetic contractions in the Bible showing us that the end of the last days, and by the way, we've been living in the last days ever since Jesus was crucified on the cross and ascended into heaven. We've been living in the last days, but I know about the delivery room that it intensifies and intensifies and intensifies. Sometimes my wife will say, hey, I think this is it. I said, no, it's not progressing. It's not intensifying yet. And Jesus said, it shall wax what? Worse and worse. And he likens it to the delivery room. He likens it to a pregnancy where it is going to intensify. It is going to get worse and worse. In Ezekiel chapter number 38 and 39, we read about a war against Israel. And just this very week, you can go down Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse number 5, where Iran now comes against Israel. That happened last Thursday. And then in verse number 6, how Turkey will join in. Togomara is Turkey, and how they will join in verse number 6. And sure enough, right after Iran and Israel, this conflict there, then Turkey stood up and they denounced Israel and began to side with Iran. And you read that war and you see what is happening here today. You see that it's intensifying. Evil is coming in like a flood. And God is saying, hey, folks, you're not going to have to wait until all of that actually happens. I'm going to take you out by force. Any moment, any time, you can be raptured out of here. I see many birth pains of the last days. The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars. I was in the car today, and I hear it all the time, and Brother Alvin said he had no idea what I was preaching. Matter of fact, I don't think I had any idea what I was preaching. This was at lunch today, and he said, he turned around, and he said, hey, did you hear about China and Russia today? And he told me something that was pretty shocking. Shouldn't be, but it was. And I thought, but I haven't read that. You know what that was? That was a rumor. That was a rumor of a war. And we're hearing about actual wars and rumors of wars each and every day. Earthquakes in diverse places. This means multiple places. And I just looked up about the earthquakes this year, and it's off the charts. The scientists' minds are blown because there's been 8,000 earthquakes just since January 1st. And they're all over the world. There's a video I won't show tonight, but it shows them from January 1st on a time lapse till now. And they're literally all over the world. Luke 21 and verse 11 says, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. And then in Luke 21 and verse number 11, it says there'll be pestilences. We read about this as well in Mark. And pestilences are diseases. And the world is coming into a formulation for a one world government where we're going to plead for peace. The world is going to plead for peace so one man can stand up and deceive the whole world. And we saw this in 2020 with COVID-19. We hear about it each and every day, the bird flu, the monkey pox. If you knew about the billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that is being spent right now in preparation for world control simply over a pestilence that the Bible talks about, it'd blow your mind. We go on, not only do we see the birth pains or the contractions of wars and rumors of wars or earthquakes in diverse places or pestilences, these are disease, but we also read about deception and false Christ. And we just showed you on Tuesday about the deceptions with all of the artificial intelligence and many people, human being and transhuman being. When I use the term transhuman being, that means half human, half technology, because it has human mind or human programming in it, but it also has technology or iron and metal and man-made things. And so Matthew 24, verse number 5, if you're still open to Matthew 24, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Truth is falling in the streets, just like Jesus said. We see all of these labor contractions. Number 5, we see transhumanism. Revelation chapter 13, For many years, Bible scholars and students of the Bible have tried to figure out this verse. And they've conspired about it and discussed it and all the kind of philosophies about it. And now every teenager in the room knows exactly what this verse is talking about. Let's show it on the screen just so we could break it down very clearly. Revelation. And he deceived them that this is mankind that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that's human beings, that they should make an image to the beast. So who's going to make the image to the beast? Human beings. They're going to make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So for the past several thousand years, Christians, because it hadn't been time yet, God hadn't revealed yet, Christians have been thinking, so what is it that mankind's going to make that he's going to be able to give power to? Go back to the verse real quick. That he should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I sat just yesterday and heard things that blew my mind that I wasn't supposed to hear of somebody on the inside of a company here, right here in the Silicon Valley. And they told me, and I saw things that would absolutely blow your mind, that play right into that verse, using artificial intelligence and robots. Of course, you know of Tesla with the Optimus. By the way, Optimus, it's learning to be human. Do you know what the word Optimus means? When God got done with everything he created, he said, it's good and it's very good. Look up, if you want to, even right now, but don't take too much time, look up what the word Optimus means. It means good or very good. Satan is a counterfeit. And so we see transhumanism, control of the world, you know, the buy, sell, everybody used to talk about what the mark of the, all of these things. But we also see more labor pains in the delivery room of lawlessness and moral decay. What's happening in the streets today? Nobody wants to abide by laws anymore. Right here in the state of California, it's absolutely off the charts. And I'm glad that you've been in a bubble, and I've been trying not to see the news. But I'm telling you, right here in the streets of Southern California, and probably Northern California, I mean, they're throwing big boulders off of bridges onto police cars. They're killing people. Lawlessness is the rule of the day. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Number 7, we see lovers of self and rejection of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me read it for you. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's a huge root problem. That was Lucifer's problem in heaven. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, caring more about their image and their looks and their status, covetous, boasters, proud. By the way, let me just pause and say this. Didn't intend to, but it's just good to write down, good to remember. You know what any sin is? You know what sin is? It's our attempt to be happy apart from God. That's all sin is. So we're lovers of our own selves. I want to be happy apart from God. That's all sin is. For men shall be lovers. And by the way, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled apart from God. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Look, we have this in our own president. And I love our president, and I pray for our president. But I'm not afraid to call it what it is, because it's a bad example and a testimony. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I mean, I'm reading the lyrics of every secular song in every genre. I mean, I'm just literally reading the lyrics. I'm reading the pool of what they pull from to write lyrics to today's music. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. This is sodomy. Pedophilia. Truce breakers, can't trust anybody anymore. False accusers, this is what you have. People false accusing Pastor Treiber. Thank God. I heard that he said he's got spiritual amnesia when it comes to those who attack him just because he loves people and he don't want to remember what they said. False accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hey, there are churches Mickey Mouse churches all over the nation, but you don't find the power of God anymore. I can't change a life. I've got to have the power of God. Our preaching cannot do anything. We have to have the power of God. They may be seeing a form tonight, Brother Stroud. I don't know. I prayed that it wouldn't be a form. But if God is not pleased with anything that I'm saying or with us as a collective group tonight, a church tonight, we might just have a form of godliness tonight, but no power. That scares me. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Narcissism, rebellion, self-idolatry define this age. Children rebel, gratitude is rare, sacred things are mocked. Romans 13 and verse number 11 says, now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. These are not normal times. These are birthing pains. And the rapture is near. The church is about ready to be called out. Have we woken up to that? Are we living in light of his coming? Are we looking for the blessed Redeemer? Now, already tonight we're down. You're thinking, I've got my future in front of me and I've got to have vision. If you'll obey the Bible, you will have vision and you will have purpose. I'm glad I was born today and not 100 years ago. I'm more excited tonight than I've ever been. And I'm so glad and so grateful that God has me where he has me. But I must live in light of his coming. And by the way, that God that we sang about, God's been good and I have been blessed. Look, heaven is a real place. And you're going to be there with believers. And we think of it's like some Casper the Friendly Ghost, some fog floating around. It is a real place. The same God that created the earth created the heaven. You want to go there when it's time. So what do you do in the delivery room? Here's the message. Here's the message, because he could come tonight. You say, you really mean it is an extremely high probability. I can't say it's 100% sure, because only God can. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But he's coming back. Number one, the Bible teaches us, would you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, you're listening so well. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. What do we do in the delivery room with these contractions? Because the rapture, being caught up, is imminent and signless. But we've seen the contractions from the tribulation, and we're going to be caught out up even earlier. So what do we do in the delivery room? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 6 says, Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That means we just need to be awake and aware and not sitting around with our hands in our pocket and our hoodie over our head and our glasses on and our music in. We need to be alive to everything that's going on around us so that we can be walking in the center of his will. We need to be aware to the Word of God. We've got to have the Word of God tucked down deep. And I won't re-preach Tuesday morning, but if we're not plugged into the Word of God, we will be deceived. We will be destroyed. And even as a believer, you can be saved and on your way to heaven, and you can get caught up. But on this earth, your life will be purposeless and destroyed, because Satan wants to destroy you from being able to save others. So the Bible says, number one, if you're writing these things down, I'd encourage you not to write a lot down, because I want you to write it on the table of your heart. But number one, he says very clearly, here's how we're to live in the delivery room as we see these last days. When you hear the news and you hear all of these things around us, the Bible says that we must be watchful, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil doesn't need to destroy you if he can just distract you. If you don't stay awake spiritually, you will drift off morally 100% of the time. The root word of casualty is casual. We don't need casual, flippant Christians today. We need gritty, rough, strong, ready for battle kind of young men we don't need wimpy, sissy, lazy, halfway in, halfway out kind of Christians. We need watchful Christians. Growing up, if I were to call any of my siblings today, they would laugh if we talked about a camp out down by the pond. And we would be out there in sleeping bags, sleeping under the stars and the bonfire going and all of that. But you could hardly sleep, because all throughout the night, my dad would be coming down with this flashlight. And he'd be shining it at us. I'm like, Dad, I've just got to sleep. I'm tired. He said, slide over just a little bit more. What's going on over here? Where's everybody sleeping? Everybody in their own sleeping bag. But wait a minute. All seven of us are grateful that he did it. At church, I'll run over here real quick. This was my dad, and now it's me all the time. Everywhere you go, you're walking by, you're on your way to the pulpit, you open the door. Everybody all right in here? You say you're paranoid. No, we're watchful. Why? Because I don't trust the devil. The Bible says don't even trust your own flesh. We need Christians that are watchful. Hey, look, you don't have to live in a straitjacket. You don't have to be paranoid, but there's a war going on, and some are scrolling through it like it's a movie. Are you alert to the sin creeping in slowly, little by little, bit by bit into your life? Are you sleeping through Satan's schemes? Are you spiritually awake enough to recognize the temptation? Do you understand the numbing? There was a doctor in our town years ago who was famous, and everybody went to him because you never felt any pain. He would have you laying back in the chair, and he'd begin to talk to you. And while he was talking to you, he'd take his big thumb, and he'd slip it in your mouth, and he'd begin to massage your gums. And he'd keep talking, and he was good at psychology because he'd get you thinking about something else, and he'd dip his thumb in something that would just numb a little bit. And then he'd begin to rub and massage, and you'd just be talking to him, trying to think about the answer to the question that he's asking you. And then he'd reach over very slyly and grab that huge needle of Novocaine, and he'd just slide it in, and you didn't even know it was coming. You didn't even feel it until several minutes later, all of a sudden you're talking, and you're all swelled up. Like, what has happened? What has happened? And that's what's happening to Christians today. Devil's just slowly working. It's not a big deal. He's distracting us. He's talking to us. Nobody's sober anymore. We're not passionate about our lives for Christ. Setting our heart and our life and our soul and our purpose and our vision and our future on fire for an almighty God. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Jesus said this to a dying church. And like many teenagers today, our faith is flickering, not burning. Wake up before the fire dies. Be watchful and examine yourself, the Bible says. You ought to see if you're in the faith. You ought to make sure that you didn't just go through a formula, because the gospel isn't a formula. 2 + 2 = 4. No, it's a person of Jesus Christ. That you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ only. Why? Because try to imagine it. Your body is burning, not for an hour, not for a week, but forever. Every moment, eternal agony. Your skin feels like it's been doused into boiling oil. Your nerves scream as if they've been flayed open by fire. Your tongue swells, blistering from the heat. You scream for mercy, but mercy never comes. The rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Your hair is ablaze, your hands and feet are charred stumps. You gnaw your tongue, desperate to escape the pain, but the pain only grows. You're falling and falling and falling for an eternity. You're in the lake of fire, and it sears your soul with a fury that no human mind could ever contain. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You gasp for water, water, but no one comes. Not even a drop, not even a moment of relief. Only flame, only torment forever. You feel yourself slipping deeper into the abyss. Hot molten brimstone floods your mouth and into your ears. You are swallowed by the wrath of God. You try to scream, but your throat is raw from 1,000 screams already. You claw through the darkness, but you only find others just as damned as you are. Gnashing teeth, shrieks of madness, and the smell of eternal death. Where's the fun now? What's the big deal now? Where's the playlist you couldn't live without now? Where's the TikTok feed that you consume for hours? Where are the video games, the snap streaks, the mindless scrolling? Where's the music that glorified sin and rebellion and that numbed you to sleep? Where are the lyrics you memorized better than scripture? Where are the parties you snuck off to? Where's the boyfriend or girlfriend who led you away from God? Where's the laughter, the inside jokes, the mockery of church or of preachers or of hell? Because hell is no meme, no emoji, it's no joke. It is your prison and there is no exit. Now you remember. You remember the conferences where the preacher stood and pleaded, run to the city of refuge. You must be born again. You remember the summer camp when the Spirit of God was heavy and you thought, well, maybe, maybe, but maybe tomorrow. You remember the Sunday morning when your friend got saved, but you stayed seated. You remembered scrolling through your phone while your soul was hanging over the flames of eternity. You remember thinking, I've probably got time, or I don't understand all of this, and it's probably, I don't know. So maybe I'll get serious later and figure it out, but I'm just not ready yet. But later never came, and now you're here. And you give anything for one more chance, but the door is shut, and your not now has become your forever. You cry out, Jesus, save me. I believe on you now. I'm serious now. I trust you, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, with all my heart. I won't lean to my own understanding. I'll stop doubting. I'll stop going my own way. I trust you with all my heart. Give me another chance, but it's too late. Because he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You are now in the only place in all of creation where the love of God does not reach. The Bible even says itself, out of all things that were created, that hell hath enlarged herself. Why did hell have to enlarge herself? Why didn't God do it? Because hell was prepared for Lucifer and his fallen angels. It wasn't prepared for you, because God so loved the world. But we're not robots. We're not optimists. We're human beings who gets to choose to love or reject. To follow humanism, look up here real carefully. If you wouldn't mind turning your light off, this is so important. Somebody help this lady. Look right up here. Look right up here. I don't want to be too distracting here, but look, you have a free will. You have a choice. And God gave a choice. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. You're on the only place in all of creation where the love of God does not reach. The one place where there is no light, no hope, no gospel, only judgment, only justice, only hell. You whisper, surely this isn't forever. But 1,000 years pass, and you are still there, and it is only just begun. You weep, you scream, but no one hears you. No one's coming ever. And then it hits you. You didn't have to be here. You could have been saved. Jesus died. He suffered an unimaginable death, so that you wouldn't have to suffer this, but you rejected him. You played church. You gambled with your soul and lost your forever. You let out one last scream, no! Not me, God, please, not me, not here, not now, not forever. But it's done. Hell is real. Hell is eternal. And hell is full. Just don't let it be full of you. I think we ought to examine our hearts tonight. I don't know in a high-level conference like this with good teenagers that I've heard as much preaching on the gospel as I've heard here. But the Lord's bringing us back to it every time, isn't he? Why? Because if just one would truly be born again tonight, when we're snatched away. I mean, so quick, you won't even be able to, what? And you'll look around, there'll just be clothes, whatever, just human stuff laying on the ground. I don't know how many will be here. You called out a few, you should, maybe 5, maybe 10, I don't know. And if just one of those, but I would plead that every single one, if you don't know that you know that you've obeyed Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God, I cannot lean to my own understanding. I cannot figure it out. I'm just going to obey the gospel. Call upon the name of the Lord. I trust you. I'm not going to worry about how I feel. I'm not going to worry about how good or bad I am. I am just going to trust you. I am a sinner. I know that. I believe that. I believe you died for me on the cross, was buried and rose again. And right here and now, I trust you. I don't want to gamble my soul with forever. And so the Bible says when we're in the delivery room that we need to be watchful. Secondly, quickly, and we're going to move fast now. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 26, in verse 41. It says, watch and, here it is, pray. Mark, circle, highlight, underline, mark Matthew 26, in verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer is not a backup plan. It is the battle plan. It's the delivery plan. He said, you're going to enter into temptation. There is a physical world and there is a spiritual world, and prayer is the only portal into the spiritual world. We see the line down the middle of the platform, and I am now in the physical world and I'm operating in the physical world, and I touch, see, feel, hear, and I've got all these thoughts that affect the physical life. But God says we have a portal into the spiritual, and that is prayer. How do I pray? Just talk to God, believing that He's real. How do I believe that He's real? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look, this stuff is simple. If I wanted to preach some deep, great message tonight, I couldn't. Why? Because the gospel, the Bible, the truth is simple. Prayer is the portal. Jesus took it and exemplified it when He was on this earth. He came boldly to the throne room of grace. Why? Because He found Himself in the form and fashion of a man. And He left us an example for us to follow, how to go from the fleshly over here to the spiritual. And He said, it is prayer. Men ought always to pray. Young ladies, don't marry, break up right now if you don't know for 100% certain that your boyfriend, that your fiance, that your future husband has a prayer life. And they can't just tell you, it'll show, it'll leak out, you'll see. Young ladies, be prayer warriors. This is not time to pace the floor and worry. It's time to fall on our knees and pray for America, and pray for my children, and pray for the lost, and I have children that aren't born again yet, and they don't know their right hand from the left yet. They're not old enough to be accountable for their sin yet, but one day they will. And man, I sure hope there's a preacher there for them. And I hope there's a conference there for them that will challenge them to get saved or to live for God and to win others to Christ and live a life of purpose and glory to God Almighty. We must pray. Number three, the Bible teaches us that we must be faithful. Don't be a part-time Christian in an end-time world. It's foolish. It's stupid. That the crazier it gets, the more part-time or no-time teenagers get. That's not this group, is it? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Ask yourself tonight, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me unto God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all Thine armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, Thy glory shall be Thine. Isaac Watts wrote those famous words, and how they're swept into the dustbin of history. Why? Because modern Christians today want to be rocked to sleep like my little baby boy. Am I a soldier in the army of my God? The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Scripture is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity, and I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. I think it's sad. The Bible college enrollments are so down in the end times, in the dark days that we're living in. Hey, the ministry's great, and you could be in a place like this as a soldier with grit and with raw courage from God Almighty, in a great place to charge the gates of hell, and yet we're sitting at home playing video games. I'm not a wimp. I'm in my place saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, food, gifts, cards, or candy. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to, because I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called us into this army, we had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. Amen. My God has and will continue to supply all of my need. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Hey, when I surrender my life to Christ and say, God, I want to live your capital L life in this little lowercase L life, I want you to do your capital W work, your big eternal work, the eternal, all-powerful work that you did on the cross and that you gave through your word. I want it in my little lowercase W work, this life that I get to live. When I surrender to him and I ask him, he fills me and he strengthens me and he does through me what I could never do on my own. What do you do in the delivery room? Well, the Bible says that we are to be watchful, we're to be prayerful, we're to be faithful, to stand, and having done all, to stand. I would love it if every single, the Bible, God wants you, every single one of you, to come back one day to this youth conference, bringing a group of young people, or be parents of the kids that come back, instead of going off to some fluffy place or no place at all, or be laymen that are helping sponsor and pay the way or buy the bus or drive the bus or cook the meals to make it possible that the next generation can come if the Lord doesn't come back before. What do you do in the delivery room? I'm almost finished. You live a holy life. You live a holy life. In 1 John chapter number 2, if you'll turn there quickly, I'm going to turn with you here. Right before we get to the book of Revelation, we see 1 John chapter number 2. Notice verse number 28 in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 28. 1 John, near the end of the Bible, chapter number 2 and verse number 28. The Bible says in verse number 28 of 1 John 2, "And now, little children, abide in him, live in him." Is this thing real? Young people, is it? It's going to be real one day. You're going to be fooled. You're a fool caught empty-handed. And even if you're a believer, you're going to stand before God with nothing to cast at his feet. We are going to give an account. We're going to get a crown just for looking for his coming. Did you know that? Just to do what I'm doing tonight, I'm going to get a crown. I'm not trying to brag. The Bible says we're going to get a crown just to be looking for his coming. And many, but he's coming back, taken by force. You're either left behind or you're taken. The Bible says, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, verse 28, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Every time I have a child, I love it for many reasons. And by the way, I could have taken a lot of time and shown you the correlation of what I do in the delivery room with watching, helping my wife and watching for certain things and praying and trying to stay faithful by my wife and all of these things. And that's how God likens it in the scriptures these final days. But when I'm in that delivery room and that baby's coming, I feel the weight of example for our children, Brother Luke. You know what I'm talking about. Why? Because they're going to look to me. I'm supposed to train them up in the way they should go. The glory of children are their fathers, earthly fathers. So God has placed, this is why so many people get bitter. Why? Because that glory has been tainted. That earthly father messed up. Or didn't live for the Lord. The glory of children are their fathers. That word glory is like ornament, like a Christmas tree all lit up or decorated. Look, mom comes in the room and there's that special motherly care. But when I come walking in, there's something about it. There's a respect. And I'm not trying to put myself on the pedestal. God calls the glory of children are their fathers. There's something. Charity says, why do they respect you more than they do me? I think it's biblical. But watch this. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. Chapter number 3 and verse 3 in the same context goes on to say, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. He purifieth himself. Brother Luke, imagine, what if I was telling the truth tonight about the whole conference coming over to your house? Is your wife in here? Would you wave at me? Right back here. Cherith, that's our youngest daughter's name, by the way. Great name. Miss Cherith, would you mind standing up? Do you care? What if we surprised them and Brother Treber said, would you announce at the end of your message that the whole conference, we want them to get to know the conference director. We're all coming over to your house. And, you know, we want to get comfortable. And wouldn't that be, don't you guys think that'd be a great thing? Who votes we go to Brother Luke's house tonight? What's your address? Okay, I'm going to text Brother Lawman. All right, but wait, I have a question. How many of you think that she would have been doing some different stuff today if she would have known that? Don't miss this. If she knew everybody was coming over today, how different would her life have been today if she truly believed it? Stay with me. This is for you. I think she would have prepared differently.
Yep.
I think she would have gone different places, done different, right? Right? Why? Because we're coming. You can be seated. This is what the Bible's teaching us. He's coming. We're going to stand before him, the one that was mutilated for you and I. He's coming. We're going to give an account for everything that we've done. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yep.
Oh, it's just going to be Disneyland. Nope. We're going to stand before a holy God. Holy, holy, holy God. We're going to stand before him. And when you truly believe that, that's all I'm asking you to do is just believe it. It changes how you live. When I know that my son's going to be born, it changes how I talk, how I live, how I save money, how I speak to my wife, what I believe about parenting and God and church. It focuses me in on something eternal, something outside of myself, something bigger than myself. In the military, they'll have commanding officers announce a surprise inspection. And you know what they teach? Nothing should change. Because you're always living with the reality of a surprise inspection. Is there any engaged couple in here? Engaged couple, fiance? Would you, engaged couple, seriously? Not one in here? Does anybody want to, this is a good time to propose because I need one. Where? Stand up, please. Are you with your fiance? Would you stand? You're not even sitting together. Okay, just stand. Where is she at? Do you know you're engaged to him? Oh, she's up here. Do you guys need marriage counseling? Okay, he's down here, she's up here. Watch this. I don't know where you're getting married, but something's changed, and ma'am, you got to get married in 2 days. 2 days. Are y'all ready? Can we get ready real quick? Watch. If they're getting married in 2 days, everything changes for them. I mean, tonight, they're not going to be sitting around having devotions. They're going to be calling everybody, booking every, right? Come on now. You go home changed because Jesus is coming. He's coming. You stop living low, petty, lazy, meaningless. Look, the Mr. Beasts of the world are just trying to distract us. How many Orby balls can we get in the back of a truck? It's lulling us to sleep. The Bible says, in the greatness of my folly, I went astray. You know what folly is? Just foolishness. Now, I'm not saying I've watched some of those videos, and I thought you can be seated. I think it's crazy, and some of that, it's not always sinful. But it's distracting. And the reels are flooded and we're sitting around lulled to sleep. I don't even have my phone on. We're lulled to sleep on stupid stuff as the world dies and goes to hell. You have no business looking at pornography. You have no business hiding sin. You have no business disobeying your parents and liking or dating that person that you know your mom and dad doesn't want you to. You have no business being a lazy, slouchy, you know who you are. You have no business causing a heavy heart to your youth pastor because you're a part of that little friend of guys, that little group of guy friends that just is not in the program. You're going to stand before God one. Last but not least, the Bible says in Ezekiel 33, let me read it for you. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blown out the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. If the watchmen see it coming and he does nothing about it. Oh, the joy of winning people to Christ. The joy of giving your lives, whether it's the bus ministry, the nursing home ministry, your family ministry, and winning your siblings to Christ. Just being a light and an example, that salt and light in these last days. That's being a soul warner. Living your life so others want what you have, that hope that is within you. Jesus says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Guys, will you say something? Will you grab a gospel track and hand it to somebody? Will you open your mouth and tell them what happened to you? Will you give to missions? Will you go to missions? Will you sound the alarm? Will you be the watchman? Young ladies, will you set your soul on fire for God? Will you just come to an old-fashioned altar tonight and say, I'm in, preacher, I've been playing games, but tonight I'll answer the call to being a preacher or a missionary or a staff member, a servant of God. I'll give my life to full-time Christian ministry. I'll give up my dreams and my plans. I'll put it all in your hands. I'll do whatever you want me to do tonight. You say, well, what if he wants me to be a tech guy? And what? Just surrender your life tonight. He'll order your steps in his word. Would you come? Here's one coming. Would you join them?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.